Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the First Bank of Nigeria 9-month 2012 financial results conference call. Following a short overview of the results by the Group Managing Director, an interactive Q&A session will be available. A copy of the presentation can be downloaded from the First Bank of Nigeria website, www.firstbanknigeria.com. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Bisi Onosanya, Group Managing Director. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning and good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bisi Onosanya. I have in the room with me Remy Odunlami, the Chief Risk Officer.
Good morning, good afternoon.
I have the CFO, Bayo Adelabu.
Good afternoon.
And I have UKAK, the Executive Director of Public Sector Health.
Good afternoon.
We would refrain from doing a long and extensive presentation this time around. I will just give about 2-3 minutes brief overview and summary of financial results, and then we dedicate more time to taking questions and answering those questions from the audience. This is the 9-month result for First Bank Group. It's the leading bank in Nigeria with a very strong local franchise. It's about 118 years old, and we are a dominant player with a very strong nationwide reach as far as the Nigerian landscape is concerned. We have a very strong and growing retail banking network, ostensibly coming from our accelerated organic growth strategy, which emphasizes aggressive deposit mobilization strategy aimed at mopping up cheap savings and current account deposits from all segments of the market. Whilst we are expanding under our guided strategic plan, we are also doing this in a very disciplined manner, in such a manner that we watch the impact on capital, whilst balancing that with the potential that exists in the retail segment of the market. What we've done arising from the 9-month results that we are presenting is to confirm that we do have a solid bank, we have a sustainable momentum that's been achieved so far, whilst we are also driving for superior returns by significantly improving our return on equity numbers and return on capital numbers based on the report for the 9 months. We do expect that barring unforeseen circumstances, we expect that the trend that's been recorded in the 9 months to date will be sustained as we go on. It's important that we clarify that the strategy for First Bank is to remain the dominant player in the Nigerian market and be focused as far as Nigeria is concerned. This is based purely on our belief that the Nigerian market still remains untapped and that the potentials there in relation to the resources required are still superior, relevant to the other segments of the African market. And therefore, our objective is to remain a dominant player in Nigeria and be less aggressive as far as Africa and expansion into Africa is concerned. These results being presented have been driven by a very experienced and reputed management team that's been on course for quite some time and do understand the Nigerian market and the specific institutional issues that relate to First Bank. I will just do a quick overview of the financial results, which is contained on slide 6 of the presentation which you have. We recorded a 48% growth in our profit before tax to 75.7 billion naira under the IFRS accounting system. This is compared to the 51 billion naira that was recorded in the 9 months ended September 2011. This increased our return on average equity from 17.1% in 2011 to 22.4%. Well within the guided numbers that were provided at the beginning of the year. In addition to that, despite the difficulties in the domestic environment as far as deposit mobilization is concerned, and the expected increase in cost of deposit arising from the crowding out of the banking system by the federal government in its borrowing initiatives using the bonds and treasury bills, we were able to improve our net interest margin from 7.3% in 2011 to 8.1% due to effective and efficient management of our liabilities and asset pricing. Our liquidity ratio remains very strong at close to 60%, whilst our NPL ratio declined from 4.8% in 2011 to 3.4%. Capital adequacy remains strong with Tier 1 capital under IFRS at 22.7%. On the customer side, we recorded a 14.5% year-on-year growth in our deposits, and we have the biggest deposit book in the Nigerian market with a total of 2.3 trillion naira as at the end of September 2012. Based on this, we expect that we should be able to meet our guided numbers in terms of profit before tax at the end of the year. This summarizes the highlights of the financial performance of the group for the 9 months under discussion. We are pleased to take questions from the audience at this stage. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. If any participant on the phone would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Muyiwa Oni from SBG Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the presentation. I have three questions for you. The first is on your UK subsidiary. In your press release, you highlighted that it contributed to close to half of your loan growth for 2012. And so my question is really to try to understand your business model in your UK subsidiary and the key drivers for loan growth in that market, and also considering the, shall I say, weak outlook for the UK economy, where I also want to have an idea of your sustainability of the performance in the subsidiary. Then also tied to your loan growth outlook, I'd also want to have a view of your expectations for loan growth for Q4. It's been quite impressive so far, and I'll say, unlike the other tier 1 banks, your loan growth was much stronger in Q3, so I'd like to know what your expectation is for Q4, and also to have an idea of the performance for 2013 as well, if you expect this to be sustained. And then the second question is on your NPLs. I know in your presentation you highlighted the distribution of NPLs for the bank alone, and if I look at your press release, total NPLs was about 52.8 billion. So I just want to have an idea of what the other 13.8 billion is. That's the portion of the NPL and the distribution across your other subsidiaries. And then my last question is on your Pan-African expansion. You highlighted just now that your key focus will be on Nigeria for now. So I just want to have an update on your expansion in Pan-Africa and where you expect to be over the next 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Muyiwa. I will take the last question first, and then the chief risk officer will answer the questions in relation to large growth and NPLs. I did say, and I still re-emphasize, that Nigeria remains our key focus. You cannot be a Pan-African bank when you are a weak or marginal player in Nigeria. So we will continue to devote our resources into Nigeria. It's, however, not unlikely that we may see one transaction before the end of the year, time permitting and regulatory authorities permitting, but this is a likely to be a transaction, if it happens, to be of no significant effect on our capital adequacy, because these are things that we guide very strongly, very, very strongly. But like I said, if it happens, it will not be more than one transaction in the next 6 months or 1 year. That's our focus. We'll continue to devote our resources to Nigeria. Remy will take the question on the loan growth and that is quality.
Muyiwa, good afternoon. Okay, you're right about a substantial part of our loan growth came from the UK subsidiary. The bank itself remained by and large flat, slight growth. The the business model in the UK is basically one where we're looking primarily at real estate in the UK market, basically in the London area, and also trade and structured trade finance. It's a very good portfolio, it's a clean portfolio, and despite the outlook, I mean, you refer to the weak outlook in the UK economy, and I need to point out to you that the mission statement of FCN UK says that we aim to be the bank that focuses on Africa and Africa business with Europe. So it's a business that is registered and regulated within the UK, but which reaches out into Africa, not just Nigeria, but all a number of African countries, and does transactions across the region. As a result, the deficiencies and the slowdown in the UK economy are not directly pertinent to the subsidiary. What is more pertinent to the subsidiary is the fact that it's regulated and this business is regulated by the FSA. Do we believe that performance is sustainable? Very much so, within the ambit of the UK regulatory framework. Our loan growth outlook for quarter four is that our loan growth outlook for quarter four is by and large flat. We don't expect anything significant to happen in the quarter. We continue to do business, but obviously there are pay downs that are coming through and we're not aggressively growing it. We're not aggressively growing. The outlook for 2013 is pretty much, I'd say another, we're probably guiding on another 15-20%, but obviously as we get closer to the beginning of the year and we complete our budgeting process, we might refine that number. But currently we're looking at 15-20% for the 2013 loan book. One point that I need to make before I go into the NPL question is that in addition to, I spoke about the UK subsidiary and the fact that it's regulated, but it's operating and looking at facilities across Africa. I also need to point out that what might seem to be very aggressive growth even within that portfolio is by and large due to the fact that there was an injection of capital into that subsidiary in the course of the year, and the benefits of that new capital are beginning to work their way through. We expect to see some more as they fully utilize and leverage the capital, but again, as I say, measured and within the guidelines of the UK regulatory framework. On the NPL ratio, on the NPLs, I don't have off the top of my head the exact breakdown across subsidiaries. One thing I can say is that it's by and large not in, what do I call it? I know it's not in the UK, but you must remember that within the I think we might find there are some other assets which get classified in from some of the other subsidiaries, but I think the EMEC will be able to give you the exact details if you speak to her after this call.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ronak Gardia from Exotic. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Just continuing with the UK subsidiary, you said the real drivers for growth there is real estate, trade, and structured trade. Is it possible to give a breakdown between each of those segments that you're lending to? My second question comes from your operating expenses. From the figures you've released, it seems for the first time in almost 3 years that your operating expenses are flat on a quarter-on-quarter basis over the last two quarters. So what I want to find out is this like indicating the end of your expansion cycle, or is this just a pause and we'll start to see operating expenses starting to increase again from the next quarter and into next year? In other words, what's your guidance for OPEX growth for fourth quarter and next year? And lastly, my last question is regarding your shareholder equity. Again, it seems like you revised your full-year 2011 shareholder equity value. So I'd just like to get a sense as to what is the true value of the shareholder equity, and do we expect any significant restatements when the full year number is announced?
Okay, I'll take the question on the UK subsidiary. I speak to property because it's something that we do, but it's not actually a major part of the portfolio. The property portfolio is really speaking less than 10% of the portfolio. Off the top of my head, I think that money market treasury type placements and those kind of assets represent probably about 50% of the assets. And the balance is in structured trade and trade finance facilities. So, by and large, it is a trade-dominated bank.
Okay.
Okay, yes. This is Bio, CFO. I will take the questions on operating expenses, cost-to-income ratio, and the minor restatement in shareholders' equity for 2011 financial year. The fact that you notice that a flat operating expenses quarter on quarter between Q2 and Q3 is actually a reflection of the results of some of our cost management strategies, which we have explained in detail in the past, and the reduction in cost to serve to customers based on the fact that we have introduced a lot of other alternative electronic service channels, which migrated a lot of our customers out of the bank and actually impacted positively on our operating expenses in the just concluded quarter compared to Q2. And this is actually the trend we foresee in future. In terms of what is the guidance to operating expense increase next year, like I always say that we always like to guide on what the cost to income target for the bank is, and we've always guided on between 55 and 60%. And we're not really guiding on anything different from this. We like to maintain our cost income ratio below 60% next year, given the model of the business that we operate. And concerning the minor restatement you noticed in the shareholders' equity, we did guide at the last conference call that we want to subject our first half results to external audits in order to actually validate the numbers that we stated. The audit has been completed, and the numbers are actually passing through the necessary regulatory approvals. So the retailing notices were a result of minor audit adjustments passed by the external auditors, which will likely be published before end of next week, as soon as we get the necessary approvals from the regulators.
So is this 411 billion close to that, or can you give a sense as to what the actual figure might be?
Well, the restatement that you noticed is minor, is less than 11 billion, which actually came from a fair valuation of most of the non-listed equity investment that the bank held as of 31st December 2011. For the end of the year, we don't really foresee any restatements to the 2011 numbers any longer because they've been subjected to full external audit for the half year.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. Your next question comes from Othandu Indi from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. This is Nathando Ndebele from Renaissance Capital. Question on the loan book, the NPLs. I don't know if you've gone through this. I may not have heard. Just if you could comment on the high NPLs in your oil and gas book, what's driving that, and how you see that trending towards the end of the year. And then also on the outlook for deposit growth, you've had very strong deposit growth. Is that being driven by new customer acquisitions, or are these more corporate deposits? If you could just give us some insight and where you think that will be going. Thank you.
Let me take the question on the NPL, and I'll comment on the deposit growth.
Osandu, basically the high NPLs in the oil and gas area are due to prudent classification around some of the companies that are undergoing issues with the government in terms of subsidies. we are by and large being prudent because we're not sure what will happen. And we have, and the, as you know, there has been a slowdown in the release of the subsidies, and in some cases, reversals of the subsidies that were already previously paid. So we're just basically being prudent and watching to make sure that we are comfortable as we move towards the year end with these obligors. I don't think that we have that much of actual bad loans in those portfolios, but it's just prudent to watch it and to watch list and classify accordingly.
Maya will take the question on deposit growth.
The outlook on deposit growth for the rest of the year, we don't really foresee any significant growth in our deposit, but we just want to assure you that we are likely to hit our 20% guidance in the deposit growth rate for 2012. But for next year, we are about completing our budget process, and we are guiding on between 20 and 25% in deposit growth for the rest of 2013. In terms of what the mix of the deposit will be, it's definitely going to be a mix of retail and wholesale deposits, given the interest rate outlook that we actually foresee for next year. Of course, our strategy, I mean, says that we actually gather deposits across all our branch network, and if you notice on our presentation, we grew our branch network by 71. In 9 months, and we also actually gather a lot of deposits from these branches over next year. We're not really foreclosing the possibility of taking some of the corporate deposit, which of course is being dictated by the interest rate environment. So there will be a mix of the two.
Let me clarify also by adding the fact that it's been a conscious and deliberate strategy on our part to extend our retail outlets and leverage on the cheap retail deposits from savings and current accounts. As we speak now, close to 80% of our total deposits are in the low-cost pockets of savings and current accounts. And it's important that we sustain this because that's the unique value proposition that we bring on the table, and that's one thing that gives us a major advantage over the other banks. So our foray into branch expansion was deliberate, and I think we are beginning to see the impact of that on our deposit profile. Of course, that comes with its own attendant cost in the short run. But if we go by our strategy of balancing short-term gains with long-term objectives, it's a cost that we are bearing today, but we begin to see the impact by way of sustainability of cheap deposits, low-cost deposits, as we move on to the medium-term and the long-term. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could just ask one follow-up question. You know, just looking at your capital adequacy ratios, and there is quite a large difference between your GAAP and your IFRS. Which ones are you focusing on in terms of a trigger point for you when you want to raise new capital, be it Tier 1 or Tier 2, and are there plans in place at the moment to be raising any type of capital or debt? Thank you.
Our published capital adequacy ratio, which is based on IFRS, is currently 22%. And with our business growth projection for the rest of next year, we believe that we'll be able to grow business in advance of our plan without negative impact on our capital. We are going to meet all regulatory capital requirements for the whole of next year, and we're not really thinking of raising any equity capital in the short run.
So you're focusing on the IFRS capital adequacy ratio. You're not the GAAP one is not the one that the regulator is going to be using anymore.
The regulators have insisted also that IFRS has become the standard by which we account, and so all focus today is on the IFRS number.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Adeolu Omotola from ARM Investment Managers. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. I just need a few clarifications. First of all, the issue of the UK loan growth. I just didn't get how many percentage you said it was for money market securities. Secondly, related to that, if a lot of the growth is coming from the UK and you think that it's going to be flat for the rest of the year, are you exploring any new strategies in terms of revenue growth? Second question, clarification relates to the OPEX issue. You mentioned that staff rationalization was a factor in Q3 results from the near acquisition. I'm just wondering, is that going to extend into Q4 or you think it's just going to end in Q3? The other questions relate to your investment securities. Have you been getting rid of some of the AMCON bonds, and if so, to what extent? And the final thing relates to what you mentioned a few minutes ago about having no plans to raise equity capital. I'm just wondering if you have any plans to raise any form of capital at all.
Let me take the last question on capital issues. We do not have the plans in the short run, when I say short run, in the next 12 months, to raise any additional capital, equity, particularly equity. However, if there are opportunities to leverage, we will take advantage of leverage opportunities. But don't forget that based on the new capital adequacy rules, the actual capital really does not count as part of your capital. It's no longer relevant. So we will take advantage of leverage opportunities if the time arrives, but quite frankly and rarely, we will not take new Tier 1 capital in the next 12 months. Remy will take the question on the UK loan growth.
Okay, Adela, in terms of the UK loan growth, I didn't actually give you a figure for the growth in the money market portfolio. What I said was that the money market portfolio represented about 50% of the UK assets. On the UK portfolio. I don't off the top of my head have the comparatives to speak to the percentage growth in that portfolio, but my recollection is that the profile of that portfolio is by and large flat, and that over time it has not significantly changed from what it is today, which is, I say, 50% in money markets, probably 40-odd% in trade and structured trade products, and about 10% or less in real estate. You also commented on the fact that the portfolios, I'm predicting the portfolio is going to remain flat through the rest of the year, and what would that impact, how would that impact our revenue growth? I'd like to point out that our revenues also include non-interest income, and we will be driving non-interest income through the year end. And there's also, quite honestly, our money market portfolio, because we are an active player within the money market domestically as well.
Now, as regards the AMCON, the OPEX, Bayer will say the question on OPEX.
In terms of the question you asked concerning the staff attrition cost, I can confirm to you that out of a net of about 80 billion that we incurred on staff attrition, half of that, about 4 billion, has been taken into Q3, and the remaining 4 billion will be taken during Q4.
With respect to your question on the AMCON bonds, I will confirm to you that we did not incur any losses on disposals of AMCON bonds, because we did not sell any. As you know, the bulk of the AMCON portfolio falls due next year, and we'll be looking to see what AMCON does with respect to rolling them over, refinancing or repayment as that arises.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right, next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gloria Obayagbo from CSL Stockbrokers. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay, thank you very much. Just a follow-up on the issue of capital raise. You had hinted at the start of this year that you had a plan for $500 million US and Eurobond. Can we say that that plan is on hold for now?
I would be cautious in saying that. It's important that we balance our request for funding with our existing and present liquidity position. Right now, based on our dollar liquidity position and the matching of relative assets, we do not have any compelling need to go into the market and raise a forex debt instrument. However, this is something we watch on a weekly basis, and we have a long-term view of everything. If there is a change in that pattern and the portfolio, we will have to consider that. But I would not at this point say we would not raise forex debt instruments, but it's not something that is urgent or paramount on our mind at this moment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Steve Moss from African Alliance. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I just have two questions, and the first one is, well, you've obviously made considerable progress in advancing your distribution network. I just want to get a sense of where you see your sort of sustainable contribution from non-interest revenue to total income. It's obviously low at this stage because of the high interest rates in the market, so in a different sort of environment or different interest cycle, where would that be? And secondly, if you could just kind of give us the split in your provision charge between retail and corporate banking, as these two have mostly driven your provision charge. So I want to get a sense of how that looks. And my colleague Godfrey has another question he may want to ask.
Hello, this is Godfrey from Affluence Pioneer Fund. I have just one question. You mentioned that there was a capital injection in the UK subsidiary, and that accounted for the asset growth. Could you just give some color on where that capital injection, what the source of that capital injection was, please? Thank you. Hello?
Hello, yes. Have you finished?
Yes, those are the questions.
Now, let me speak to sustainability of non-interest income. It's part of our objectives and strategies to ensure that we drive up our non-interest income. You know, this can only be done by ensuring that you have quality staff and you are also close to your market and your customers. This is something that is uppermost on our mind. At this moment, we have no reason to worry about any decline in that non-interest income as a portion of our total income. It's something that is important to us and we're driving. As far as the UK loan growth is concerned, there was an injection of additional capital into the UK. And you know what this does is also to give them room to do some more transactions that they were not able to do before. It increases their single legal limit and also allows them to expand their loan book. This is being done very, very consciously, and it's also being monitored by the FSA in the UK. Right now, the bank is very conservatively well managed. It's the best performing Nigerian or West African bank operating in the United Kingdom, and it's poised to deliver on its targeted numbers by the end of the year. The risk management is also in focus, and we do have interventions from Nigeria. We have a centralized risk management program that ensures that everything they do is within the ambit of the overall group credit risk and credit risk policies generally. So we have no cause for concern whatsoever as far as the UK market is concerned.
Thank you. It wasn't from a point of view of concern. I just wanted to understand where the capital is coming from, if it's equity or if it's from Nigeria, or if it's equity from the UK, basically.
It's a 100% owned subsidiary, so that capital came in from Nigeria after necessary regulatory approvals. It's a 100% owned subsidiary, and so the capitalization was from Nigeria.
Understood.
You had asked a question about the split between the retail and the corporate portfolios in terms of the NPL, of the provisions for the year, and it's basically a 70-30 in favor, as it were, of the retail portfolio, with retail being about 70% of it and give or take corporate bank being about 30%.
Okay.
As a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Thank you. Our next question comes from Dimbusi Obike from Stanbic IBTC Pensions. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. I have a few questions. My first question has to do with your deposit mix. Your overall deposits seem to have increased by about 18%, but there's a particular point that your term deposits from year to date has increased by over 50%. So given that these are expensive deposits and might affect your cost of I don't know how that fits into your strategy in terms of your strategy on deposit mix. That's one. My second question has to do with your FBN registrars. Given that CBN will not allow you retain registrarship subsidiary. What's the update on your divestment from that subsidiary? My third question has to do with your branch expansion, including the quick service point. How many branches were opened in Q3 and how many more are planned before the end of the year? Then my last question, I'm seeking clarifications from their comments that two capital will not be your capital issue. So has been a change by the CBN in terms of minimum capital adequacy ratios required for banks?
You are breaking, but let me answer the last question first. What we did say is that emphasis going forward now, based on Basel 3 and everything, is on Tier 1 capital. And Tier 2 really is no longer regarded as part of core capital going forward. And that's the point I tried to make. On our deposit mix, we do have a guided range of a mix of low-cost deposits and term deposits. And we can assure you that despite the growth in our purchase funds, that wholesale deposit during the year, it still falls in line with our guided deposit between low-cost deposits and high-cost deposits. Now, it's important that we understand the fact that expensive as the word in deposit mobilization is a relative number. It's a relative item. So long as we are able to gather deposits and take a spread on that deposit, even if it's by means of intermediation, so long as there's a positive spread on it, we would not turn it down. What's important is to make sure that irrespective of the size of our purchase funds that we take strategically, we continue to drive low-cost deposits. And out of the 18% that you saw, there was a higher proportion of growth in our low-cost deposits in relation to the expensive deposit that you saw. But as a rule, we do not take any deposit unless we're able to match and take a positive spread on it. And that's our objective. As far as the first registrar is concerned, we've said that severally that the central bank does not permit us to hold this as a subsidiary, and there are attempts which have reached very advanced stages to dispose of this asset. We believe that this will be concluded certainly subject to regulatory approvals in the quarter in which we are, and the profit to be realized from this will form part of our profit for the year ending December 2020. I believe I've answered your question.
The question on branch expansion.
Oh yes, branch expansion. Now, I did say when I was summarizing the performance that we are in an accelerated organic growth mode. And we did set the target for ourselves of opening 135 branches in the year 2012 to the first quarter of 2013. As we speak now, as at the end of the 9 months, we have opened 71 branches. I think we have about 60 branches under construction, which we expect to be concluded for opening between December and the first quarter of 2013. Now, that growth rate in terms of number of branches will be stemmed as we go into 2013 due to the impact of impact on capital consumption and reassessment of the need for aggressive growth in branches as we stabilize. We will therefore focus our attention in 2013 towards sweating these new branches and making them very efficient in terms of contribution to deposit base and opening of new branches in 2013 and going forward will be based purely on identified needs, detailed study using GPRS study maps, and business justifications. So we will slow down branch expansion in 2013, but we will conclude the target set for ourselves in 2012 by increasing the number of branches by 135 branches. These are all part of a carefully crafted retail banking strategy, which is of course. Have I answered your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kato Makuru from Citi. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you very much for the presentation. I think I would like to understand the impact of a lower CRR on your net interest income. Basically, what I'm trying to get an understanding of, what level of CRR do you think is appropriate to re-trigger loan growth for First Bank and maybe even the system, and what impact do you think that would have on margins? Also, what I'd really appreciate is a discussion on the competitive landscape as it stands today, vis-a-vis how it was, let's say, you know, this time last year. Are you finding it far more competitive? Are you seeing more opportunities? What are the biggest challenges you're facing vis-a-vis your competition? And are you seeing any of the smaller banks or the foreign banks being a threat to your established franchise?
I don't think it would be fair to comment on capital requirements. That's the prerogative of the monetary authority. We do have a responsibility as a bank to comply with whatever ratios that are specified by the regulators. It's important to note, however, that the higher that ratio is, the likelihood that it impairs our ability to increase lending to some extent. We would like to have it as low as possible, but it's something that is totally out of our control. But right now, we are living with it, and we do have a strategy to ensure that it does not in any way impede our growth. And that's what we've done successfully. Your next question was on the operating environment and whether we suffer presently any from any competition. It's important that we understand the fact that we are operating in a very competitive environment. We did know that at some point the crisis in the banking industry will be sorted out due to the intervention of central bank. I like to praise the central bank for doing a good job, and so safety and flight to safety is no longer a factor that determines market share as far as the banking industry is concerned in Nigeria. We were very proactive because we knew this would happen, and this was why we took advantage of the market at that point in time to set up structures that would sustain and keep our customers and enable us to expand our customer base. The market share we have today, therefore, is no longer driven by flight to safety as it were about 2-3 years ago, but by the superior products and service offerings that we now make available to our customers. We will therefore continue to restructure, to reinvigorate the bank, and to be innovative in making sure that we provide the best services available. First Bank of today, you would admit, is no longer the First Bank that people are used to. We are very nimble, we are very efficient, and we do compete with the best that is available in the market. So we expect competition to be tough, but we have structures in place to make sure that we defend our market share and possibly extend our present lead to cover other areas. We are not in any way bothered, but there is competition, and we do have structures to address that competition and make sure that we do not lose market share going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Peter Mushangwe from Lusai Securities. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. I think I am having a very bad line, but if you could help me with the your deposit growth expectations for next year and loan growth or loan deposit ratio target, then I think you talked about it, but I didn't get it. And my second issue is related to NPLs. If you could just help me with the classification and breakdown of the NPLs. And lastly, I think more like what you've been commenting just now, do you think the system is normalizing? And if so, what would be your kind of steady-state ROE target? Thank you.
Our deposit growth target for next year is remaining 20%, while the loan growth is between 15% and 20%. The chief risk officer will take the question on the NPL breakdown.
Could you give me an idea of what you want in terms of the NPL breakdown?
Just in,
what kind of, what, which way are you asking me to cut the portfolio?
But your doubtful, your substandard, doubtful, and lost.
Okay. Well, you do realize that under the IFRS, we no longer have substandard doubtful and lost. However, I can give you... I don't have it. I don't have it with me right now. I can give you just the total portfolio. Can I come back to you with the exact breakdown? But it, again, I believe if you look at the financials that we published yesterday, day before yesterday, the breakdown would be in there. But I don't have it right now.
It's fine. I probably missed them. I'll probably look at it again, but if I can't locate it, I'll get back to you.
Okay, if you have spotted, then again, if you can speak to EMC after the call, she'll let you have the detail. But while I have, while I'm talking, I'd just like to go back to Muyo's question earlier on, where he was asking me what the difference, what made up the difference between the group NPL number and the bank's NPL number. And basically, it's more or less 50-50 between FBN Capital and BIC, the subsidiary in the DRC.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Soji Solanki from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. This is Soji from Renka. I have a few questions. The first one is the UK subsidiary. What portion does this form of your entire loan book currently? My next question is on dividend. If you can just give us some sort of guidance on payout ratio for this year. You know, would it be logical to use what you paid out last year, or there's been some internal modification in terms of the dividend payout for this year? This one probably can be answered at bio. I think just looking at numbers quarter on quarter for non-interest revenue, there was about a 30% slowdown. Okay, what can you attribute to this, to this slowdown we saw in non-interest revenue? And finally, some guidance on tax rate for this year. You know, it's been quite low for all the banks for Q3, which I understand because of the tax exemption the federal government gave. But what guidance would you give for end of this year? You're currently at about 12%. Thanks.
What's that on what?
12% tax rate.
Oh, tax rate. So, the tax rate is not 4%, we can assure you. We don't
12%.
We don't expect any significant change in our effective tax rate relative to past years. That's one. Two, we confirm that our guidance numbers on payout ratio and internal guiding rule is to pay out not more than 60% of the profit after tax. Not more, but it can be anything below that. And it's dangerous at this stage to speculate as to what it will be. And don't forget that this is subject to shareholders' approval also. But we would not pay more than 60%, just to make sure that we have the ability to do capital accretion from reserves going forward, in line with the fact that we do not intend to raise fresh Tier 1 capital in the short term.
The drop you noticed in non-interest income, the 30% quarter-on-quarter, I can also confirm to you that it relates to our investment banking advisory revenue, which actually dropped. They actually booked a lot of income in Q2, and based on the fact that they have a lot of deals in pipeline, which are not really crystallized, and their income is booked on cash basis. We expect this to actually come up before end of the year, or at the latest, by first quarter next year. So the drop is in advisory revenue by investment bank.
Okay, Soji, in terms of the share of FBN UK to our loan book, I say that it's somewhere between 25% and 30% of the total loan portfolio for the group.
All right, excellent. If I could just ask one more for Amy. What's your outlook for NIM for next year in terms of asset yield and also cost of funds? Thanks.
Well, one would expect that they should remain pretty stable. I mean, the outlook at the current time is a little uncertain. I mean, everything will be driven by the central bank's monetary policy actions. But, I mean, in the near term, it looks like we probably will see their rates remaining around the current level and maybe seeing some degree of easing at the later part of the year. That said, given the fact that our funding base is largely retail and low cost, we do believe we should be able to defend our cost of funding, and we have been pretty proactive in managing our asset yields, especially on our loan book in terms of pricing. So we still believe we should remain pretty competitive and probably still stay around the same kind of level.
Thanks.
Before we go on, can I just come back to Pete and your request for the breakdown of the NPL? I've been able to get the numbers for you. In terms of the loss category, we've got about 60% of the NPLs in loss. We've got 25%, give or take, in doubtful, and about 15 substandard. So basically what it says is that we've worked a lot of the deficiencies in our portfolio are working their way through, and the substandard portfolio is becoming less. So I think that we'll see a continuing improvement in the portfolio as we go along.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ibek Islamov from HSBC. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the conference call. I just have one question. In your third quarter result, it looks like you managed to increase your yield on assets, on interesting assets, quite substantially quarter on quarter. Can you explain like what happened there? What happened? Is it?
UK will answer the question. UKAK.
Okay. Thank you. We did say when we presented our half-year result that one of the focus areas would be repricing of our assets, optimizing yields on our assets. And that is coming on right now, the benefits, because we had to review the loan book and reprice as much as possible, of course, taking into account the interest rate regime that we observed. So looking at the growth in our loan book, obviously the base had increased, and therefore you saw an increase in the revenues coming from loans and advances. Going forward, we think we can sustain this level of pricing because our play is across the various sectors, retail, emerging corporate, and of course the institutional banking areas. So the net interest margin, you also see they are moving from 7.3 in 2011, that's September, to 8.1. The second is on the money market play. Obviously, we took advantage of the situation and invested quite a whole lot in money market instruments. So, obviously, the increase in rates was of positive impact to the bank. T-bills and bonds, we did very active play in those two areas also.
Okay, thank you. If I may ask you a follow-up question. You mentioned earlier on the call that the current CRR, cash reserve ratio, is not stopping you from lending domestically within Nigeria. I think the question will be, you know, what are the factors which are holding the bank just in this quarter? If we look at quarter-on-quarter growth, pure domestic, it looks like the loan was pretty much flat, maybe even down a little bit sequentially. And what can resume your appetite for lending risk?
I think it's important that you take our loan growth in the Q3 in relation to the aggregate loan growth in the rest of the year. We did guide on a loan growth of 15% to 20%. So it's therefore important that when you touch and reach that 20% mark, you've got to respect your guidance numbers, because these are numbers that came from your business and understanding your business. We would not attempt to grow beyond the 20% that we have achieved. And so as we have maturity, we'll also make sure that new facilities are booked within the context of the facilities that are maturing. all this just to make sure that we effectively manage our liquidity, effectively manage our capital, and also take advantage of the attractiveness of the money market environment as it were today. Loans essentially consume a lot of capital, so it's important that you are not led by loan growth as a bank. I hope you are satisfied.
We have a follow-up question from Ronak Gardia.
I just want to know what your guidance would be if there is a significant easing of monetary policy. You're guiding towards loan growth of 15-20% and deposit growth of 20%. But if the CRR was and the monetary policy rate was to be reduced significantly, how would that change and what impact would it have on your NIMs?
Yes, it's important that there are so many factors that determine your loan growth. The CRR alone is not a singular factor that determines your loan growth and your loan portfolio. So we need to put that into context. Secondly, the mere fact that you have increased liquidity does not mean that all those additional liquidity should be put into loans. It's managing the bank is not simple. It's a complex mix. Balancing between liquidity, capital adequacy, and profitability. And all these factors would always be taken into consideration in determining what our loan growth will be. We have a budget, we have a strategic plan, and we are running in accordance with our budget and strategic plan. So the mere fact that there will be changes in the cash reserve ratio on its own does not necessarily mean that the difference arising from those changes would have to translate into loan growth. There are a lot more factors that are taken into consideration. In any case, let me confirm that a change in cash reserve ratio today does not necessarily translate to an increase in lending or a reduction in lending as far as First Bank is concerned. We are able to meet our customers' demands and expectations at this moment based on our own strategies and the relationship with the market. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the Brucey of BK from Stanbic IBT Extension. Please go ahead with your question.
So I have questions. My first question has to do with your NPL exposure to government. At your last conference, you explained that it relates to lending to a state government that witnessed the change in leadership. What have you done about NPL? Just give me. Also, your NPLs, how far have you gone in resolving them? Thank you.
Sorry, is there anything? Sorry, I missed the second half of your question.
The second half of my question is related to your real estate NPLs. At the previous conference, you explained that they were mostly delinquent this year. How far have you gone in solving them, and what's the outlook for that sector in terms of NPL?
Okay. All right, then the NPL ratio as far as public sector is concerned, we spoke in the previous quarter about the government one. That has been cleared. The NPLs that we're currently showing on the public sector do not relate to any government. They relate to public agencies and entities that we classify within the public sector. On the real estate side, the portfolio is, we spoke about the need to develop and complete the project. Obviously, you don't complete projects in 3 months, so work is progressing, and I'm still very optimistic that that portfolio will work itself out positively. Have I addressed your question?
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from Gloria Obayagbo from CSL Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
Thank you once again. I just want to get your expectations for the full year ROE and your ROE expectations for 2013. And I would also like to know what the revised timetable is for the implementation of your HoldCo structure. And finally, the sectors you're looking for to drive your loan growth for 2013. and if you're going to tilt more towards retail lending or corporate lending next year. Thank you.
Remy will take the question on loan growth.
Well, basically, our loan growth, our strategy remains pretty much the same going into 2013 as it has been through 2012. We are growing within the retail sector. We're also growing within the corporate sector. We are focused on the primary areas of economic development and economic growth within the economy. So you will see continuing exposure to oil and gas, you will see exposure to telecoms, and you will see exposure to infrastructure. Essentially, the First Bank, our strategy is to grow with and support the economy where it makes sense. And our strategy hasn't really changed going into the year 2013.
In terms of expectation for ROE for the rest of the year, we earlier guided on 18 to 20%. We are currently at 22%. So we hope to sustain that till end of the year. And for 2013, we currently guiding on between 20 and 25% for next year. That's the return on average equity.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we take the last question, please?
Thank you.
There was a question around the structure of our holding company. We'd like to confirm that the following the approvals received from the shareholders at the extraordinary general meetings, we have filed all the necessary papers with SEC and the Central Bank. We believe that in the next 1 month, max, we should have rounded up this. First Bank share should have been deleted in the next 1 month, let's say end of November at the latest. What we are going through now is just regulatory approval. Everything is on course. Thank you. Last question.
Thank you. Our final question comes from Peter Mashangwe from Lagai Securities. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Just in terms of your ROE guidance, do you think your kind of state ROE, given that things are normalizing in the system, or where do you see it in a kind of normalized environment? And then we are having quite difficult times here in Johannesburg. I mean, the line is very bad. I don't know if there's something you could do next time. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the question. Given the current circumstance where that we operate, we foresee our ROE to be between 20 and 25% for next year. But if things improve, like you have indicated, we actually hope to stay at the top end of the range, which is 25%. But no matter what, we are the projected based on the existing circumstances where our business operates.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. At this point, let me thank all participants at this conference call for standing by us and staying for over an hour. It's been 1 hour well spent. We'd like to round up by reassuring you that the trend that we have seen in the Q3 up to 9 months September is a trend that is encouraging. We intend as management and board to ensure that we continue to ramp up on these numbers. We expect sustainability relatively on these numbers for the rest of the year. Your bank is in very safe hands. We have a very, very robust management team in place, supported by an experienced board, operating and running a well-crafted strategic plan aimed at enhancing shareholder and stakeholder values and sustaining the improvements that have been recorded so far. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, and God bless you all.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's First Bank of Nigeria 9-month 2012 financial results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.